I'm so glad that you're here to worship with us today. And, you know, the songs that Phil and Michael are leading us in just go along so perfectly with all the things we're going to talk about. Like, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. We all have these gifts inside of us, and we need to not be shy about sharing them. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about. And so, you know, not too long ago, I know some of you might have seen, and some of you might have even gone to George Strait's concert at Kyle Field in College Station, his record-breaking concert, right? They said it was the largest ticketed event, like, in history, so really pretty impressive, right? And I got to thinking about how cool it would have been to be there, to be a part of that crowd, and, you know, all of the, just the feeling of being connected to all those people. But really, it got me thinking about being there with a group of people versus, like, being a part of a group of people. The idea of association versus interdependence. So if I'm at a concert and I'm gathered with a group of people, we all likely have something in common. Most obviously, we're all there to see the performer. Maybe we're there to spend time with somebody else who wanted to see the performer, but we all have a reason we're there. But if we weren't there, the show would go on. I would have loved to have been at Kyle Field that night, but I wasn't. But the show happened anyway, right? George Strait's performance was not a bit less because I wasn't there. and it wouldn't have been better if I had been there. Not for him anyway. It would have been great for me. So all of that's association. All of those people gathered in the same place for sort of, you know, even the same purpose or the same reason. They all have that in common. And they're all associated, right? But it's not interdependence. It's not relational. Because your spouse, your children, your friends, your church, that's interdependence, where they are a necessary part of your lives and you are a necessary part of theirs. Something is missing or even damaged if you stop showing up in those relationships or if they stop showing up for you. It's a relationship where we are mutually reliant on one another. And so that's association versus interdependence. And I want to ask ourselves as a church, which should we be? As a congregation, should we settle for being a group of loosely connected individuals gathered at the same place at the same time for an hour every week? Or should we strive towards interdependence? Should we strive to be a community of tightly woven people sharing life together, bearing one another's burdens and building each other up for the furthering of God's kingdom? What's that?
Choice B.
Choice B, yes, absolutely. I'll tell you this, if you think that nobody misses you when you're not here, you're wrong. It may be just the person that you sit next to on a regular basis. It may be the kid that you give a high five to as you walk down the hall. It may be a visitor who doesn't have that friendly smile because you're not here. But there is an element of interdependence, should be, among us as a congregation. The body of Christ should look more like interdependence than association. And that's really what Paul is talking about in our reading today. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. I lost my place because I got these new multifocal lenses. And the doctor said the eye would just make it make sense, but I'm not so sure about that. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So Paul is telling us about the body of Christ. And I've always liked this analogy that Paul uses because it's really easy to get. Because we understand the absurdity of the whole body being an eye. We understand that it's nonsense that a foot would tell a hand that it has no need of it. We get that concept. There's lots of different spiritual gift inventories. And actually on Wednesday of this week, if you kind of look out for it in the e-news and on Facebook, we're going to share some of those spiritual gifts inventories. So if you don't know your spiritual gift, if you've never thought about it, something that might help you discern your spiritual gift. There's one spiritual gift assessment that's particularly for youth, and it uses this analogy that Paul has, where it kind of shows the different spiritual gifts as part of the body. Like one is the brain, and one is the stomach, and one is, the legs. And so it's kind of interesting. It's a good way for youth to sort of grasp that concept, because we get the interdependence of all of these parts. But for some reason, we don't really think that it applies to us. That's not really how life works. Sure, it makes sense for the body, and it's a nice idea, but it's not like something we really practice. But Paul is telling us that that's exactly how it should work in the body of Christ, that we should be interdependent and mutually reliant, and everyone having a different function, and no one thing more important than the other, because all are critical. Acts chapter 18 talks about the establishment of the church in Corinth. And then later in his travels, Paul hears about troubles that the church is having. And so he writes these letters. And Paul addresses each of their problems and responds to each one with some part of the gospel. And if we look kind of at the earlier part of chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Because what was happening in the church was that some people were being a little showy about their gifts. They were like, well, I have this gift. I can do this, and it's awesome, and look at me. And that was obviously causing some dissension. And so he's trying to get them to understand that, yes, we all have different gifts, and here are a few of them, but none is more important than the other. The body of Christ needs all. And so this letter is really about learning to think of every area of our life, our relationships, our family, our community, and to think about it through the lens of the gospel. The Message version of the Bible, which I don't know if you guys ever look at it, but it's just a really straightforward sort of paraphrase, says this about this particular scripture that we just read. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, the other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything? Let me say that again. Only as you accept your part of the body does your part mean anything. If you see church only as an activity of association and not interdependence, if you don't accept that you are an integral part of that body, you are missing out. You are missing part of the point. Friends, if our view of church continues to be the hour, hour and a half that we spend together once a week, if our view of disciple making is just that it only involves the people here leading worship or on the staff of the church, you aren't seeing the whole picture. You might be looking at the body of Christ, but you aren't part of it. And when you carry such a narrow view of what it means to be part of the body of Christ, and you don't see yourself as a needed and necessary part, you rob yourself. And you rob the body of Christ from growing and thriving for the kingdom. Among all of you, there is a rich diversity of gifting and passions and skills and talents and ideas. And it's just waiting to be unleashed. And I think there's really no greater example of that than what we saw last week at Vacation Bible School. I want to tell you a story about a time that I was in seminary. I was taking an evangelism class at SMU, and the professor just happened to be Bishop Scott Jones. He was our acting bishop of the annual conference at the time, and he was our professor in this seminary class, which only had about 8 or 9 people in it. And so you couldn't really hide. You had to be an active part of the class. And this particular week, we were talking about children's ministry and things like Vacation Bible School and how that can be part of an evangelism aspect for church. You know, we reach out to the children, with them come their families. And in that part, we're making disciples. And so he looks at me and he says, "But what is the problem with having a big outreach Vacation Bible School?" And I thought for a second, and I said, "Well, I don't think it is a problem. You know, it's just an opportunity for everybody in the congregation to get involved and to share Jesus. And there's just so many different ways that the church can be the church when we have this big outreach for something like Vacation Bible School." I truly was like, "Well, I don't see a problem." And then he said, "Well, what about, you know, all the logistics? You have to have the right volunteers. It costs money. You know, you have to make sure that you have the space. You have to," and just he lists kind of all these like logistical problems with having a big outreach Vacation Bible School. And those logistical problems do have to be overcome for sure. But I really didn't see it as a problem. I was like, "Nope, just an opportunity." And what you have to know about Bishop Jones is that he is a very calm and composed man. And he tends to have this very pleasant, neutral expression on his face at all times, which I really envy because I can't fix my face. If I think it or I feel it, you're going to see it. But he has this very calm, neutral expression on his face as I'm giving him this answer. And you really can't tell when you talk to him if it's a great answer or if it's the stupidest thing he's ever heard. So I'm just sort of sitting there hoping that it's not the stupidest thing he's ever heard. And it wasn't, right? He saw that as a positive way to view it, that they're not problems, they're only opportunities. And I hope that you guys don't think that it's a stupid answer, that you also view it as opportunities rather than problems. VBS is just one example, but there's so many other ministries: Family Promise, Saturday's Child, Women's Ministry, Men's Ministry, Scouts, that we have here at church that we can share our gifts in. But over the years, specifically with VBS, I have seen so many people use their varied gifts to make it better. And almost every year when somebody's approached about being the layperson who directs it, they'll say, "Well, I can't do that because this, 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 or this. And we say, don't worry, it's okay. Maybe that's not your strength, but you can delegate that and you can focus on what is your strength, and everybody can make it better. And that's really how it's worked. So it's a beautiful thing that over 300 kids showed up last week to hear about Jesus. But honestly, it's just as beautiful that we had over 100 volunteers show up and say, I want to be a part of making disciples. Because that's what we were doing. You walked through this place and you saw people using their gifts and their passion. And they didn't serve just for the sake of an event. They served for the sake of disciples being made. They're telling the story of God, sharing the love of Jesus, planting seeds, and little hearts who will remember that when they are afraid, they can trust in God. We saw people sitting with kids, comforting kids, praying with them, telling them stories, singing them songs, playing games with them, discipleship happening in so many different ways. It took so many people, so many gifts for it to happen. And we just wanted to share with you a short video so we can celebrate what God did last week. In the 11 o'clock service for putting that together for us. He has a lot of gifts besides piano and organ. But it was pretty incredible that there were 300 kids who got to learn stuff about God because 100 people showed up and decided to make disciples. And that's what waits for us as one body when we employ all of our gifts. So we have a plan to the end of the year. And as I looked over the plan, I realized that we really had created a way for us to strengthen our body of Christ and prepare us all to be disciples who make disciples. As we enter July, we're going to be talking about who we are at AMC, what our mission and our vision is, and who we serve, so that we all have a clear identity, a clear idea of our purpose and what we're doing. And then in August, we're going to pray, because every good ministry starts with prayer. And we're going to talk about learning how to pray and how we can be in prayer for one another. And then in September, we're going to focus on being better disciples by strengthening the way that we study the word and hold one another accountable in small groups and classes. In October, we'll talk about stewardship and consider ways that we can all use our time, our talent, and our treasure for the building of the kingdom of God. In November, we'll see how God is always with us in storms, in the wilderness, in the waiting, and see the amazing ways that God works with our faithfulness. And then in the new Christian year, in December, in Advent, we're going to be ready to celebrate and share the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Strengthening disciples to make disciples. So we're going to be heading into in the next few months. And all of that will be successful or fruitful, not because of me or Mike or anyone else on staff or leading worship. It will be fruitful because of the body of Christ, because of you, each of you identifying and using your gifts to build the kingdom of God. And if you walk away with one thing today, one question to ask, it's this: who has God created you to be? And what has he gifted you to do? If all of us commit to answering that one question, and by the power of the Spirit start living it out, we don't have any idea how loud the gospel can be from this church. So let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for a week of joyous mission and ministry. We trust that you will grow the seeds that have been planted. And as we reflect on the gifts that you gave to so many men and women and how they were used this week, we know that there are more men and women and students in this room today that you have uniquely created, gifted, and called for your kingdom. God, help them to know, help us all to know what you are calling us to do, and help us to trust that you will equip us to do just that. In the coming months, grant us perseverance and wisdom to help us grow as disciples. Grant us boldness to use our gifts to welcome more disciples. Lord, we trust all our efforts to you for your glory, and we do them as we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.